Hey, this morning's a really special morning for us as a church because we are installing new elders, and we're also affirming our existing returning elders. We're going to honor three retiring elders today. And this is a really significant moment in the life of our church. We've spent about a year in this process. I know that back in the fall, you nominated candidates for the discernment of our elders to consider. But the process actually really began at the beginning of last summer when our staff and elders began to pray and study together about our future elders of this church. So it's about a year-long process. And so today is the culmination of a lot of prayer and discernment and study. And for me, as I've spent a year studying the biblical role of elders and praying and discerning with our shepherds about these candidates, what it has done for me is to only magnify my appreciation for the role of shepherds in the biblical story and in the life of the church. Elders aren't a new thing, okay? Elders actually go all the way back to ancient Israel when the Lord appoints elders over the people of Israel. It says that they need them. And then when Jesus comes and he institutes kind of a revision to that role of elder or a magnification of that role, it changes, but the role of or the office of elder continues to exist even into the life of the church. And the point's really clear that we, the people of God, need good shepherds over us. And that word good is really important there because in the biblical story, not all shepherds are created equal. I think about Jeremiah 23, where there are these bad shepherds who are running off the flock. And so God says in response, listen, when I raise up for you a righteous branch from the root of David, who's he talking about? Jesus. I will appoint good shepherds over my people. And so today, as we install these new elders and bless our returning elders and our retiring elders, what we see is the hand of God caring for his people over thousands of years. And as we recognize the hand of God and honor the will of God, what we're doing is glorifying the chief shepherd himself. That's what we're doing together today. So I'm going to challenge our shepherds this morning. I'm going to use the pronoun we today, okay? Because I'm going to challenge the shepherds on our behalf based on the word of God. Let me say a couple things, and I'm going to derive all those from this passage, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 5, okay? One of the more important passages when it comes to shepherds, and probably the clearest charge in the New Testament given to those who watch over us as shepherds. Look at this. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. So in just a moment, I'll introduce you to our new elders. But first, let me say a few words of charge to them on our behalf. And I'll put these on the screen. It's based on this passage that I want to say to our shepherds that we need you to be shepherds who are, number one, willing to watch. Did you see that? Willing to watch over us. The concept of a shepherd as a watchman over the people of God is used many times in Scripture, but this specific word that's used here is used only one other time. That's in Hebrews 12. Let me show this to you. It says this. It says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Why? Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it, that's the word, watch or watch over so that no one falls short of the grace of God and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So what are we needing shepherds to watch for? You see, it's sin. It's sin in our lives. We need people who are watching out, willing to warn us if something is growing up in our life that is going to choke us or defile us or to rob us from receiving God's grace. We need people who watch out for us in that way and that warn us when they see it. I read an article this week about a fellow who was at Yellowstone National Park. And he went to see this waterfall and he wanted to get a really good picture of the waterfall, a selfie. Okay, you know where this is going. And there was this barricade, this fence, and on the fence it had these warning signs not to go past this fence, but there was a ledge just past the fence. And he knew that if he could get to that ledge, his picture would be much better and not have warning signs in the background. And so he climbs over and the ledge collapses. Okay. He survived barely. It was a close call. But he said after that in an article, "I have so much more appreciation for warning signs." Right. I thought a lot about that. Okay. If I am in danger, then the most loving thing somebody can do for me is to warn me and to watch out for me and warn me. So we need our shepherds to be shepherds who are willing to watch. Two, we need them to be eager to serve. Did you see that word, eager to serve? That phrase actually describes a word of a, back in the ancient world, there were often these patrons, well-to-do people, who would either invest in the city with what the Lord had provided them. They would invest in the city to make the city better, or they would exploit the city and they would try to profit from the city. And so the word that's used is for a benefactor of a city who is eager to serve the city with all that the Lord has given him. It's a word, it's a heart word. It's speaking of what does he desire to do more than anything else. And that's what I want to say to our shepherds. The Lord cares about your heart so much. And we need you to be shepherds who are protecting your heart for our sake. We need you to be shepherds who are eager to serve. Every 4 years when we go through this process, we approach a couple guys and they say something like, "Man, I'm so honored that y'all would ask me. I'm so honored that there are those at this church that think I might do a good job of that. But the truth is, like, as I pray about it, I just don't really want to right now." You know what I say when they say that? Praise God that that is clear to you. Because we don't need shepherds for whom this is drudgery. We need shepherds who are eager to serve the Lord's people. Amen. And then he says this, and this is shorthand. We need shepherds who are worthy to imitate. And that's shorthand for the word not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. When I was growing up, shepherds seemed really far removed from my life. I knew that they were my dad's bosses. I knew that about shepherds. And I also knew that our shepherds had made a rule. They didn't ask me about this. They had made a rule that no kids could wear shorts on Sunday night. So we used to play basketball after church on Sunday night, and it was so much harder in pleated khaki pants and penny loafers than it would have been in shorts, right? And so I resented our elders, okay, because they were far away and I thought they were lording over us. Shepherds do make important decisions for the life of this church. And what I want to challenge these shepherds, though, is in the spirit of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says about leaders. "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles," so in other places, "they lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Why? Jesus. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." We need you to be shepherds who are among us, that we can see, not lording it over us, but worthy to imitate. And so I want to invite up our new shepherds. And for our new shepherds, I want to invite their wives to join them as well as a way to both introduce them to you and also to honor their sacrifice and support as their husbands take on this new role. So I want to invite them over. And they have a plaque I just gave them in the chapel service. And so I'm not going to give it to them again, but I want you to bring that plaque up with you as you come. So Jimmy and Kim Adkins, and watch your step as you come onto stage here. Why don't y'all just file over kind of behind me. Jimmy and Kim Adkins, Jay and Amy Bethay, Carrie and Angela Daniel. Now, they were going to be here, but they had an unexpected loss in their family, and they're gone today. Charlie and Cindy Fowler, Jonathan and Ellen Mooneyham, Rance and Debbie Reagan, Rod and Don Robinson, and Trent and Kristen Williamson. There you go. I'm going to invite one of our returning shepherds. He's our elder chairman at the moment, Ken Garner, who's going to come up and pray over them. I'm going to grab a microphone for Ken.
Before I pray, I'd just like to read a short scripture from Ezekiel. And God is telling Ezekiel in this passage that his flock's not being taken care of. And so he says, Ezekiel, this is how I would do it. And he says here, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost, bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. And so our task here is to serve the flock. And if you look out there, there's our flock. Let's pray. Dear God, we just say thank you for who you are, for loving us, for watching over this church. We just want to, at this time, bring these men and women to you as we present them as elders today. We ask that you have your Holy Spirit dwell in them as they take on this new chapter of life, as being servants and being shepherds to the flock. Be with their wives also, give them wisdom, and just remember that we're here to serve, and that's what we do as shepherds. In Christ's name, amen.
I'm so thankful for these new shepherds, their wives, and praising God for them. Let me say a few words to our returning elders, and I'll introduce them in just a moment. I want you to notice how Peter begins his charge to shepherds here in 1 Peter 5. So let's throw this back up on the screen. I want you to pay attention to the two phrases that I've emphasized here. He says this, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, two things, as a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. A witness of Christ's sufferings, who will share in the glory to be revealed. I was thinking about the difference between those two phrases and how those compare with phrases that we use today in our world. And a couple phrases came to mind for me. Let me throw these up on the screen for you. And you've heard these before, especially if you've ever been on something called Facebook. Live in the moment. You ever heard that? Be present. All we have is right now. Isn't that the gospel of our time? Isn't that it right there? And yet you look at those words, and then you've also heard this phrase before, haven't you? The tyranny of the urgent. Do you see how those things don't go together? Right? Be present. Focus on right now. And yet, when you're focused on right now, it is a tyrant on your back, isn't it? You see that? Isn't that striking? And so apparently what the world preaches to us isn't all it's cracked up to be. And so I want to think with you about the difference between those two phrases I emphasized in Peter's charge to elders as we charge our returning shepherds. And let me say this to those, both to our returning and our new shepherds. We need you to be shepherds who are, number one, looking back to the cross all the time. When Paul summarizes what he preaches, he says it's pretty simple. I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. We need to be reminded, apparently, again and again of what Christ has done for us in the past and how that once and for all accomplishment of Jesus Christ changes our present. Now, we need you to be shepherds who, like Paul, like Peter, who are always looking back to what Christ Jesus has done for us on the cross when it is hard for us to focus on that. And then secondly, and you'll notice from this passage, we need you to be shepherds who are looking forward to glory. When something is hard and sin has a hold of us, it gets so hard to focus on anything else except our immediate present. But I think about those heroes of faith from Hebrews 11, and it tells us why they were heroes. And this is why it says, they were always longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Even in the midst of the things they were going through, they couldn't understand. Somehow, they were looking beyond the present to the forward heavenly country that God was preparing for them. And so we need shepherds who are like that. Now, let me use this metaphor. If I was drowning at sea, and I couldn't swim, and somebody jumped into the water with me, and they couldn't swim any better than me, But they come up out of the water and they say, "Hey, buddy, aren't you so glad I'm here with you?" I would say, no, right? I need somebody, if they're going to rescue or help me when I'm drowning, who is tethered to something solid, something that can pull me out, be it a boat, a helicopter, something that can lift me from my present situation. And so to our returning elders, I want to challenge you to always be looking back to the cross and forward to glory for our sakes. So let me invite our returning shepherds up, and not all of their wives were available for this, and so I'm just going to invite the men up today who are returning and retiring. That's Joey Atkins, Chris Barber, Josh Bostick, Jeff Frizzell, Ken Garner, Bill Ivy, David Jackson, Reggie Lattimore, Sam Liao, Randy McPherson, Barry Mitchell, Sean Prine, David Ralston, Jay Shapley, Wayne Simpson, Steve Taylor, and Ron Wade. Come on up here, guys. And I've asked Gerald Jerkins, who's one of our retiring shepherds, to come and pray over them. So Gerald, why don't you join me on stage and pray over these brothers.
Thank you. This is a very special day, as we all know, and we celebrate it and have great joy in it. I noticed a little while ago that there's also another classification of elders. They're the elders who wear ties and some others that don't. And so you can speak with Wayne and myself. It's an obscure scripture that Eric will preach on later. But this is, seriously, this is a great day, and the men behind me and the men who you just introduced to are part of the future of this church, and one that we're asking God to empower them and guide them for the growth of his kingdom and for this community. Please pray with me. Father, we come before you now on this special day in the life of the Highland Church. And today we give you thanks for the men who are continuing their service as shepherds of this church family. We thank you for the years of devotion and commitment of these men and their wives to the service of this church. We lift them up to you, asking that you bless them as students of your word and men committed to prayer. Fill them with the fruit of your spirit as they continue to lead this body with wisdom, humility, and compassion. Our prayer for these elders, shepherds of Highland, and those who are joining them today is the one that Paul prayed in the book of Romans. May the God of hope fill each of you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask these blessings and give you our thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm so thankful for these returning shepherds. We also have three retiring shepherds today, and I want to honor them. We're told to honor those to whom honor is due. We're going to do that in just a moment. Let me take you to the second to last phrase in that charge that he gives to the shepherds in 1 Peter. Come back with me to 1 Peter 5, verse 4. He says this, after charging the shepherds to care for the Lord's church in the ways that we've just talked about, he says this, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And so to our three retiring elders today, I want to say that we as a church thank you for being shepherds like the chief shepherd. We've often said in our elder group, our elders would say that they are under shepherds of the chief shepherd. That is that they're not caring for their flock, it's God's flock that they've been entrusted to, and that he is the chief shepherd and they serve under his rule and authority. He says here that when the shepherd does a good job, when he runs the race and finishes it well, that he will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. And it That phrase combines two really significant images. One is the victor's crown. It's the crown that's given to like an Olympic athlete, somebody who runs a race and finishes it well. You may remember what Paul says about this. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And the image is that when you have done that well, that you will be presented a crown of glory. And I want to say to our retiring shepherds that we believe you have run a very good race. We are so thankful for it. And the other phrase translated in English is a crown that will never fade away. And it's really actually a pretty unique word. It's amaranth. And anybody who knows anything about flowers may know that the amaranth flower is this kind of special flower that's known for the beauty of its bloom and a beauty that really doesn't fade away like other flowers do. And so it's really significant that Peter uses that word, because earlier in Peter he says this about the glory that those of the world chase. He says this, all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And so the image when he grabs the amaranth flower to describe the crown of glory for the shepherd is that you invested in something that lasts forever. You didn't invest in what the world called you to. You invested in the word of the Lord and in the people of God, and that investment will never fade. And so let me invite our three retiring shepherds up this morning. They are Larry Houck, Jerry Midyette, and Gerald Jerkins. Let me invite these three brothers up. I also want to honor their wives, Miss Mary Houck, Miss Susie Jerkins, and Miss Beverly Midyette. Why don't you three brothers join me up here? Larry, can I borrow that award here? And so we searched on Amazon for an unfading crown of glory, and they were out. But instead, we have this just small token of our appreciation. It says, thank you. It says, Highland Elder, and their name and their years of service. And at the bottom, it says, in you, we have seen the chief shepherd. So I want to invite Jimmy Atkins up on stage to pray over these. And I also want to invite the rest of our elders, both returning and new elders, to come and lay hands on these brothers as we honor them for their years of service to the Lord's people.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, this morning we offer up a prayer of thanksgiving and blessing. We're so thankful for Larry, for Gerald, for Jerry, for their many years of shepherding your church here at Highland. Father, many of us have been eyewitnesses and recipients of their leadership and wisdom, of their prayers and of their service. Father, we just ask that you continue to richly bless each of them and their families. Continue to use each of them as shining lamps for all of us and to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Will you join me in giving thanks to these shepherds?